This might be an unusual situation for both of us because it's, as we realized just seconds before we started recording, that we are not recording in a car, that we can hear ourselves, which is a huge benefit for this recording situation. And we have also a specific topic we will talk about, and we have also something that we can share. So it's not a conversation episode, it's a proper educational session. I don't want to put the expectation too high, but I think we can share some own expertise in this episode. So, but before we start, welcome to How to Freizeitpark Abroad, the business podcast for leisure makers. My name is Stefan Buriam. I'm a self-employed consultant for the three main topics I believe that are most important for the guest experience in every themed attraction or leisure attraction, which is operations, HR, and the guest experience itself. And I am not alone here. I hope that you have listened to the past episode, which I have to admit was not the best performance I've ever done on any podcast, but the recording situation was weird. We had to put something out there, so apologies for that, but today we have a proper microphone in our hand. We are not sitting in a car. The walls are even padded, so we have some isolation as well. So I can introduce now my co-host of this show, Liam Kreutschmann. Hi, Liam.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you for the little introduction and also for the little introduction into our situation where we record this session. I'm really looking forward to it. So we recorded some sessions in the past as well, so like the last episode, and it was always in a car. Some episodes aired, some not. I think we learned our lesson. The audio quality might be much better this time, I hope.
Yes, and also the quality of our content we will offer today to you there, dear listeners. But before we start, I introduce myself, Liam, again, without any car noises around us and rain pouring down on us. Please introduce yourself. What are you doing and why are you here for this specific topic today?
Yes, I'm working as self-employed professional in the leisure industry, such like you, but my point of profession is more the marketing side. So I'm a professional for marketing and PR. So my main focus is the organic marketing, such like PR, social media, and content marketing. And I'm specialized for attractions as well as suppliers from the industry. And I'm working with my little agency called Studio Magisch, which is German for Studio Magic. So just like the name, I try to enhance the industry, try to do some magic in the communication. And yeah, we'll try our very best to make everything possible that our clients want.
With some pixie dust on top to make the magic happen.
Exactly.
And today we will talk about an issue which is important for both of us. I believe I have, and I don't want to undermine your experience to that, but I have more experience of how issues can come up with that. It's the big thing we have, two departments fighting against each other. Today is the big fight, operation versus marketing.
Exactly. I once had like the situation, I was on a client's venue. I was standing backstage with the head of operations and we had a little talk about an event that was going on there. A lot of people in the house and we were standing outside, had a little chat and then went inside it again. And during our little conversation, he said, in your field, everything is a little different. So often our needs are different, our expectations are different, and our goals are different.
Yeah.
And we might be enemies sometimes. And I was like, interesting metaphor. I never thought of that. I never thought it to be like that. But he's right in some ways. So sometimes operations and marketing might be acting like enemies, but they are really not. So that's why we have a little good chat today to try to argue why this has failed, why this shouldn't be the case, and maybe find some solutions what to do when this is the case at the moment at your venue. So sometimes it might be the situation, the status quo, and don't have to be forever like that.
I have two situations to to clarify this whole why are we doing this today. The first one is just basically when you're working in a smaller leisure attraction and we have just a couple of full employed workers around you, and you have, I don't know, a marketing manager, an operations manager, then you have the general manager on top and some other people like supervisors, and then you go down to the frontliners. So it's a very small organizational structure. And especially in those small structures, you see that marketing, and especially when it's a marketing-driven attraction, that's the coffee machine now in the background. I'm very sorry for that. We are in a co-working space today, so there might be some noises, but not constant rain or the screen wipers.
We have an amazing studio, though, as Stefan told before, but we can't close the door. That's why sometimes you hear noises from the rest of the office.
So when you have a small attraction and marketing is everywhere, like you have I don't know, posters, signage that needs to be done, advertising on every inch of every wall, and sometimes marketing can get out of hand and operations and marketing have to coordinate that's the first thing where I realized that they need to work together. The second thing was a very first person situation for me. I was coordinating an event for a Christmas event I was doing for a theme park in Southeast Asia, and we coordinated everything in cooperation. So there was marketing, operations, I was part of the event management team. And we had like a bullet pointed list. So we need to know what to do. Jesus, that's the first point where I realize that I still need some more English verbs or words. What is that? Like an Ablaufplan.
Like a schedule?
Schedule, thank you. That's the word. we all in corporation created a schedule that we know, I don't know, at 2 p.m. the Santa Claus character comes on stage, on 3 p.m. we have the fireworks, I don't know. And we did it everything, and I was in charge of the daily operations on that day, on that event. And then marketing always came to me and said, oh, we need to change that and that. And we need to go around. We need to change that point. The character needs to be there. And I said, we can't do that. We have this schedule now. Everybody is on place. Everybody knows what to do. When we change things now, it might happen that the event will not be that great as we planned.
Or maybe even greater, because sometimes marketing has good points as well, even yes, when it comes to like guest experience.
Yeah. So okay, you got me there.
Don't have to be a conflict.
You got me there. But it was like very very minor changes, major changes, which in the end we all realized when we did a post meeting after that, that we realized, if we had made those changes on that point, we might have lost our own schedule and our own timing, which meant that our event was getting out of hand and control. But nevertheless, before we hop into that, I mean, you have heard now that marketing and operations are doing different things. But from your point of view, Liam, maybe you can explain to us what is the responsibilities of marketing in a leisure attraction. What is their job? What do they do?
Yeah. Let me first clarify, there's always the word marketing in the air. It's like buzzword, because marketing is huge. It's a huge field of different tasks. And of course, this field is so huge, you have to be specialized today.
Yeah.
So my introduction, firstly, I said I'm more specialized in organic things. So you can see there's a different approach when you maybe ask a performance marketeer, for instance. So that's why I have a very special point of view in this case. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify in the beginning. So marketing in general is like everything around communication, internal and external wise. So for instance, every paid campaign, when it's coming to attract more guests on the different channels, it can be like online channels, the classical performance marketing channels like Meta, Google or other search engines, or like the classical paid ads. is also the organic stuff, like mm-hmm. The website, all the cooperations with influencers, bloggers, or different media outlets. It can be also like the owned channels, like social media channels, or a blog, or like special newspaper, the attractions have. So there are so many channels that are to observed and to fulfill with different content pieces. So it's quite a huge field. Marketing is also looking that the corporate identity is always safe, so that everything is on brand. So mm-hmm. you feel the brand, you see the values of the brand, you see the colors and different identifiers of the brand. So marketing also is like the security of the brand. So sometimes you can say it like that.
Yeah.
They ensure that the brand is on the attraction. So marketing really defines the look and feel of an attraction, of a brand, of like a company. So marketing is also a definition of how we speak. So which words do we use? Which values do we want to transfer and communicate to the people? Which goals we want to achieve? So, of course, the goal in marketing is very different. It can be like the classical goal to attract more guests. It can be also goal like to be a good employer, to brand as a good employer, so to find new employees. It's also to increase brand awareness. So there are so many different goals we have to look at, and that's why always kind of challenging to keep everything under one roof. It's always, we talk about like conflicts between operation and marketing, but there's also conflicts between marketing and marketing. So sometimes you have even interest conflicts in the same field. That's very interesting. For instance, when it comes to like PR, not always has the same goal like the performance ad. So it's quite challenging to keep everything on track and ensure that everything works in the same direction.
It's crazy, isn't it, that marketing is such a overall name for a word for things, and it's when you go into deep, then you realize there are so many different other sub departments, some focused areas, specific tasks that you need to do, and when you look how different themed attractions or leisure attractions, and that's coming back to my catchphrase when I introduce myself, of any size and kind, it's all different. So for example, a theme park usually has a sales team, which it's not applied for like a small attraction, like a midway attraction, like an aquarium or an FEC. So it's completely different, and can be different from attraction to attraction. And the same can be applied to operations. So operations might be for a smaller attraction that you have an operations manager who is like the second in command, who's responsible for usually almost everything. He does HR, finance, health and safety, rides, if there are any rides. And when you go to a theme park, usually they're broken down to rides, cleaning, safety, health and safety, of course, also security, if you have a security team in your attraction. So it can be absolutely different, but it's coming down by operations to the daily operations that the attraction can be operated, can be run, and safely and to the highest level of satisfaction. Usually they are the ones that are burning money. So marketing is the ones, they are burning money to earn money. Yeah, and we are burning.
Sometimes
they
burn a lot of money as well. So marketing is a lot of experimenting with things.
But your return of investment is completely different to ours. Because when we, invest in better working conditions, on the other hand, it might not come back in terms of revenue, but it comes back in terms of employee satisfaction, or how many people will quit in a year, So those figures can be changed, but our return on investment is not that investment which can you count on your bank account at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're working on the product side. So in the end, marketing always needs a good product. So otherwise you can't market it. in a great way. So we need you to burn money to ensure the communicator, right? So it has to be this way. So
yeah.
Somebody has to burn the money.
And that's what we both have realized when we started working together and sharing our expertise and trying to work together on different projects, is that marketing is mostly the theoretical part of having an themed experience, for example, and operations is usually the practical part. So when you have your CI, your corporate identity, the look and feel and how we speak, that is what operations has to do in practice on a daily basis to ensure that the things you thought of in a creative way can be ensured by our doing with the interaction with our guests.
There are a lot of ways when both worlds come together. So, of course, you can also theme your marketing activities. You can theme your channels. Sure. So it varies from attraction to attraction in which level you can do that. But there are ways to do it. I want to give you some examples. For instance, let's look to the escape room industry, because it's like a very interesting niche. Quite small operators, quite small attractions. So often you have just one responsible for marketing and one responsible for operations. So that's why the fight is very personal there. And you can say, okay, when we do just the marketing, we communicate what our attraction is. So we say, oh, people, this is an escape room. We have different quests there, different puzzles, and a nice story in the end. So this is the very basic way to communicate that. You can also theme it. So you can say, okay, we are not an escape room. We are, for instance, a dream factory. So let's have an example of one of the bigger escape rooms here in Germany, very, very famous.
I wouldn't say bigger, but...
No, very small, that's true. But
small, but expensive.
Not for the guests, but to build it. And probably to operate it.
And everything else around it.
Yes. Or you can say we are more like an experience. So there are some escape rooms that don't say we are an escape room. They say more we are like an immersive experience or something. It's different because like
the I word.
They use like a huge buzzword there, but you don't always have to tell your guests what the attraction is like. But of course, you have to set expectations in marketing.
Yeah.
The people need some expectations to be convinced to book a ticket that's probably a bit pricey as well. So you need good arguments. The most easy way is to say just, okay, we are this kind of attraction. But when you like theme your channels, when you do it consequently, you can sell more experiences and not like formats.
I think that's a topic that we can focus on maybe on a separate occasion, especially when you say or mention that you can theme your activities, and I immediately think of all those press conferences I've made and overcome and survived in my 20 plus years working for different themed attractions. There's nothing more German than a theme park press conference with some half-cut bread with some sausage on it and cold coffee from a huge dispenser.
Boring part of but sometimes necessary. So, but just give you one more example. You can theme it in a very basic way as well when you just work with words, for instance. You can say, okay, your scheduled escape room appointment starts in 2 days, like for example when you send in a reminder email. Or you can say, okay, your journey to the new world of the pirates or in the world of wizards will set up
me hearties.
Sometimes it's basic, right? So it's even more beautiful than just say the basic things. So in this kind of way, the product and the communication really merges. So this is what I wanted to tell with a little anecdote and our little... a little journey in this example, but it's not always that the operations just burn money and are responsible for product. You can really set expectations and set the kind of product you are in the communication beforehand.
Yeah, and that's where we come to the issue, because expectation management is one thing, because when you communicate from a marketing point of view that you have the best and greatest and wildest adventure in Western North Holland, and you will have the amazing day and you can ride the fastest roller coaster in this city, and people, I mean,
this is different, okay, because you have like hard facts you can prove your point or not. But I think you refer a little bit to one anecdote from Great Britain for years ago, where a new roller coaster opened in a big theme park there, and they marked it as a really great horror attraction, outstanding attraction that everything will blow in their minds of the guests.
Really? Which one do you mean?
13 at Alton Towers.
Oh,
they had a huge campaign with great ads, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was a really good campaign, but the product didn't fit the expectations that were set. It's still a good roller coaster. It's still a good attraction.
It's a great attraction.
Yeah, but the communication around it didn't merge the product. And this is the way where the conflict should be solved beforehand, because don't want to have the situation.
Yeah, I was not referring to anything at all, to be honest. I was just riffing and spitting. but funny, though, that you
could bridge to one of the anecdotes. It's often easier to explain it when you have like concrete situation where this problem emerged, or this problem arised didn't were solved in this way. But next time maybe we can learn from it.
Yeah, but that's the thing I wanted to point out is like now the issues between operations and marketing, and that's doesn't have to be a marketing problem, but the overall problem would be setting expectations too high that operations on site has to deal with it when, for example, a guest complains about, oh, it's not scary at all. I mean, that's very subjective. That's a difficult situation, but it's just a small example of how a different expectation management by maybe over-the-top marketing can ruin the expectations of your guests. And you realize, I mean, we from operations are usually very simple-minded, and we say, right, it's a roller coaster, right? So just, it's all right. It's a great roller coaster, but it's not, blowing your socks off. It's a family roller coaster. It's nice, has a special effect at the end. Wow, it's very cool, but it's not that what you said, but it's all right. But no, it's out there in the UK, and everybody knows it. So how shall we deal with it? But that's the thing, communication between the departments. What I realized is that very often that the communication between those departments is not great, and that can be applied to all of departments, that can be applied to private life, it can be applied to relationships. But what I realized is when the theoretical part, marketing, does something that doesn't fit with the operations expectations and vice versa, that leads to very huge conflicts, especially between those persons who were responsible for that, and the other part of the other department has to find a solution for that. And when you're not talking to each other, it's very difficult to find a solution, and it might also lead to huge conflicts in department, which can affect your work life.
That's true. So the issue is clear, or what to do. What can we do when we have like this problem, when the issue arises? So we have the conflict, and then let's bring the people on the table and talk about it, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing you can do. When shit hits the fan, you just have to get over it, and you have to talk about it. And there might be tension in the air, and it might be not the nicest conversation you will have. That's what we had after this situation in Southeast Asia, where really some things happened that were not satisfying at all, but you have to address them. And I mean, you don't have to be personal. I think it's a professional decision you've made is not a personal decision you've made. I wouldn't say, oh, I did this now to Liam because I don't like his glasses, you know?
The problem is that the goals are different and the aims that people have. So in operations, you work hard to fulfill guest experience expectations and, to make everything working. So that the dispatches of the train works well, that the staff is brief, that the security knows what to do and everything is safe. So that's your goal. And my goal is to bring the people there. So you can't operate anything when there's barely no one to experience it.
Exactly, yeah.
So in the end, it's the same goal. In the end, we want to have people to have fun, right?
Yeah.
And you need both of that in the end. So my goal is to communicate, to say what we have, to see, let the people know the advantages to come.
And sorry if I interrupt, but that's the other thing, the advantages, because the situation I described before with the miscommunication between those departments can lead to the resistance of each other's doing, and that's what I find very dangerous in a situation like that, because as you mentioned, you need marketing to bring people to your attraction, and if we don't have marketing, operations, what shall they do? You know, they just have a park without any guests, so there's nothing to operate. Right. So when we go around operations, and I know there have been managers, some of them I knew personal, they said, oh, marketing again. Oh, they did this and that again, and oh, not again. And oh, they didn't talk to us.
It's a huge task for marketeers to be annoying sometimes. And it's a huge task for operators to be annoying as well.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you annoy maybe the people who construct everything because you have special needs.
That's a good example.
Sometimes, everybody has to be annoying to ensure that certain things work. So it's part of the job to annoy people sometimes. And you have to understand, you shouldn't be annoyed by it, but more advised or more consulted by them, because other professionals have different experiences and different needs and work on different angles of the bigger picture. But in the end, everything should walk in the same direction, and the guests must be happy anyway in the end.
Yeah. I believe that we have already addressed the main issue, that this conflict can lead to this huge impact of both departments, and both will have their stereotypical point of views and will say, oh, operations again, oh, marketing again. And the thing is, how can we overcome this issue? I mean, you've mentioned some things already, especially about the communication, that we have to speak to each other, that we have to be annoying without being annoyed. So really, asking questions. I mean, that's what we in operations do. We are usually not... I mean, we're looking for solutions, but we are most of the time problem-focused, because you ask us something that, I don't know, you plan an event and you say, hey, I would like to have that event with a stage build up on that and that position. Then we come around and say, okay, but those are the problems. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But on the other hand, we should have solutions, or we should address, there might be a situation that can occur, or there might be some challenges that can occur when you have your, I don't know, your event on this special position. So being annoying doesn't mean to be annoying like really
in a personal way.
Yeah, exactly.
More to address a problem, right?
Yes,
it's your job. So.
Exactly. But what would you say are other benefits when if marketing and operations work closely together?
The benefit is that we have an understanding about what's the goal of each other. So let's bring back the escape room example, because it's quite easy to understand. So sometimes in marketing, I have to show pictures from the inside of an escape room, or tell little pieces from the story we tell in the attractions. And always the operators come to me and say, oh, don't spoil anything. Don't tell the guests what will happen. And in marketing, I say, okay, no, I will not say directly what will happen. I will not spoil like solutions for puzzles and quests.
The code is 315.
But I have to, right. But I have to make the visitors curious about the attraction. And to make them curious, I have to show them something, because just from a name and the little graphic as a teaser, nobody will be convinced. So you have to find some arguments so people come. So just to stay in this example, I wanted to address this more. You need a bigger understanding what's the goal of each other, and in the end, understanding what's the goal of all together. Because in the end, I mentioned before, we have the same goal: to make people happy, to make a great experience, and to make people coming back.
Yeah, and I think when we fill those gaps of each other, it can also benefit our daily work. For example, when we are out there in our attractions, I mean, operations is basically managing by walking around all the time. And we have more visualizing of our own attraction than marketing has, because of course marketing knows where, I don't know, the brochures,
beautiful spots is, or the information
exactly.
give people.
But what we have is the opportunity to see, like, oh, there is, I don't know, there's an A board and the information is not up to date, so we can just come around and say, hey, just to let you know, there's old information we have outside, or maybe something is broken or missing. What I find very amusing is when I am visiting attractions, I'm always looking at the and that will be a huge theme in the upcoming episodes, every time toilets advertising on toilets, and when you have like those clipboards
often
stuck to
they
the
are empty. I hate
I that. Oh I am oh
it's a missed marketing opportunity.
it is and when they are empty, it does look bad.
It is unprofessional.
And often marketing does not use those bathrooms very often, I do believe, and they're not always
it's not their job to be on site all the time. It's
exactly.
The job of the operators.
Yes.
They have to address the problem and say, okay, there's something empty, and give me a new graphic, give me something I can put there, and then it's their job to bring some content in these frames.
And dear operators, please don't start to use your own, I don't know, self-made with Word posters or something like that.
Definitely, it's not professional, and this is a task for marketing, and marketing is responsible to do that. Sometimes you have in marketing some people who say, oh, I don't want to be annoyed by these like little operational things. I want to keep focus on my big campaigns, on my ads, on my content I produce. But no, this is part of marketing to save the brand. That's why I said before, you're security guard of the brand.
You
have to ensure everything looks professional and your brand is well presented. And this is part of it. And in marketing, one of the tasks is to give operation all the tools they need to help themselves sometimes. Sometimes in marketing, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be the designer of every little sign there. But when you don't want to do that, then give operations like some blank canvas they can use, or like
a so-called empty belly.
An empty belly, exactly. And they can use, and then everything is on brand again. So sometimes we really have to build the way operations can walk then. And I know in the daily business sometimes there's always no time for it, because you're working on big campaigns and adjust the ads and do everything you can to run that. And sometimes you can say, just put a sign there and it's fine. Yeah.
But that's a very operational thing to say. Yeah, just put up a sign there.
Just put a sign there. Yes. I know sometimes when you like involve marketing, it can take a little longer, because of course you have more people involved, and always you have more people involved, you need some more time. So it's not like an operation when you see like a mistake, you try to fix it. So when you have marketing, it may take a day longer or an hour longer, or I don't know what the capacity is there. But you have, yeah, just take the time, do it right, and yeah, maybe work for the future, and yeah, maybe provide some tools the operators can use.
And that's what I really love about your statement is the tools, the toolbox that can be offered by marketing is so useful on a daily basis, especially when it comes to complaint management, for example. So you have like prepared arguments or prepared phrases that you can mention to guests to calm them down or explain a situation. It comes down to all those CI related stuff like the empty belly, like signage. Usually marketing is, if you like a larger attraction, maybe you have a somebody who can graphic design in-house, so you have your signage ready in no time, you know?
Yeah, but also when you have a graphic designer, they're always busy, right? They're
always
working for everything, and they don't want to work for every little little sign. I wanted to say you don't need to ask always other people. You have to provide them with tools, and then you can help yourself. And that's very important, because then everything is quicker and you don't have to get other people involved a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit misleading what I tried to say with that. I was just trying to say that if you have like a graphic department or a signage department, that you can also prepare something in a larger number, that you can exchange something on site. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Of course, you shouldn't go knock on his door. Hey, we need a sign. It should look like that. And he has like a huge pile of to-do things on his desk. Of course, you shouldn't do that. So you always should ask marketing before. That's also a very important rule. Ask marketing before you ask the graphics department. I learned the hard way.
Yeah, of course, in marketing, you have like... to ensure the timing is used right.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, you don't have the time to do everything you want. So you have to prioritize. And not every task is in either way important. So, what we say is to the marketing, give the tool to operators and they will not come all the time to annoy you.
And on the other hand, operators, be friendly to your marketing departments. Also, try to give them as much information as possible if they have any questions, because marketing will have questions. And if you don't deliver questions, they will look for their answers themselves. That can may lead to your dissatisfaction. And I can just... focus on or say to you, focus on communication between your departments you are working with daily. And especially when you think, I don't have so many touch points with marketing, you have, but maybe you don't realize it, especially on CI, signage, all the things Liam just mentioned. It's such a huge part of your attraction. It's such a huge part of what makes the experience work.
Yep.
And you need to speak, you need to discuss, you need to sometimes argue, that might happen, but I can assure you, if you have a good long-term relationship with your marketing team, then you will have a better understanding of what makes the experience great and even better. Because when you develop new attractions, develop new areas in your attraction, marketing is the first department that will be involved, and they, as Leah mentioned, will bring the people in.
Definitely, and we can't highlight enough to speak more, to communicate more internal wise. So one great tool to ensure there's communication is to maybe implement a regular call between operations and marketing. So to be honest, in Bali, any situation with my clients, I find a situation where there's a regular call between operations and marketing. It's Bali the case, and I'm always like, oh, why not? I want to know what's going on there in marketing. I want to know what's the news, what's the changes in the product, what's the stories we can tell in marketing. So the operator people are the people that are close to the guests. They have to bring me the stories I can tell to our future guests. So find a way to have regular updates, maybe like a Joux fix or some call or meeting. So of course we want to avoid unnecessary meetings, but this is one necessary meeting.
Yeah,
don't have to be every day, but maybe every week or bi-weekly or once a month. Everything is better than no talking. So of course you can avoid problems before they arise. I want to give you one more example from my PR practice. So let's go away from social media and stuff. So in PR, we often have the case where we bring journalists to the attractions, or we bring influencers to the attractions. I mean, this is the goal in PR, right? And to ensure that the journalists or the influencers, bloggers have like great content they produce or great pictures they can bring to content pieces or have great overview about the attraction of the company, you usually give them special treatment. And maybe you can bring them from attraction to attraction, or you may ensure they can skip the line when there are lines, maybe. So, of course, this is an interest conflict with operations. They are working, so they want to have guests feel treated like equally to every other visitor, or at least equally treated to every visitor of their own, like, same status. For instance, when you have like a skip the line tickets you offer, of course everybody understands they pay for it, so they have like special treatment. But when you have like bloggers or journalists, sometimes the understanding from the crowd is not the same from the guests. They feel like not well treated because there's somebody who special treatment. You come like maybe do you through a backstage door in the station and quit all the lines. So to avoid these problems, marketers should meet their operators beforehand, tell them, okay, we have like a VIP guests or journalists or an influencer here, and I will be there, and I will be with him in the attraction and guide them from attraction to attraction. And what can you do, dear operator, to ensure that the other guests don't feel annoyed by this? And what can you do maybe that the other guests don't see it? Maybe you can do it like in timings where the attractions close, or find ways so the other people don't feel mistreated.
Hide the influencer in a bag and like pull him out in a station. But one thing I would add is not also don't annoy your visitors, but also not annoy the staff members.
Yeah.
Because when a marketeer comes with somebody around and says, hi, we just want to just quickly hop in, and they are not informed, of course they will raise their eyebrows.
They will, but I mean, and that's in the end the understanding you have to develop. So
yeah,
we have the same goal. So
yeah,
there might be like different guests, or different goals. So we want to get in the press, we want to get in social media, and we want to attract new visitors. And then we have to show our attraction in a positive way. And this is like one way to ensure this. And
But it comes back to the point of communication, of inform them beforehand. And I do know that there are so many theme parks around that they have like, I don't know, like a pre-opening daily briefing where every department head of the day is there and communicates. So this is like one of example how those ways of communication can work. If you just say in the morning, all right, I don't know, we have like person X, person Z today here, I'm with them, we walk around, we will skip the line, operations, you are informed right now, F&B, we will dine today at Flippy Floppy Burger, so you know, you are informed as well, so that should be all right.
Please make the burger extra nice.
Extra flippy and floppy.
Right. And I have to really say my word to the marketeers outside there. Please leave your offers from time to time. So sometimes marketeers tend to stay in the office, stay away from the product, and that's dangerous. So go on site, not just to produce content, but see what you are market and what you communicate and what you sell in the end. You have to understand your product. You have to maybe write your rights maybe once, at least once, I would say, to know the feeling about it and to know how it's operated and to know how it works. And that's why I really like companies, parks, attractions, where they have like a program where employees change positions from time to time. Because this really
like you have to work one day of your season at a ride, for example.
Because this really,
it helps a lot.
Increase the awareness of other people's jobs and the reason why certain things are made in certain ways.
Yeah, so you can see, dear listeners, it's not a thing. It's not rocket science. It's like a relationship. You have to maintain it. You have to speak to each other. You have to address your own needs. You have to ask for the other person's need. So it's a very simple thing. But the only thing that I often see is that people are just not doing it because they have those stereotypical things in their head and say,
they are busy in their workload, right? Yeah. It's not that we
both of them, operations, marketing, you're busy backstage, we are busy on stage. So those two words collide sometimes, but you can combine those words, bring those worlds together if you just, speak to each other. That's the simplest thing, and I think that's the whole thing where we can wrap it up now, because that's the simplest solution we can offer. Speak. That's it.
And try to find formats to make it easier, like regular meetings, calls, meetings on site, change of position swap on the attraction or something like that.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more about marketing, of course, there is Liam Kreutzmann as an expert in organic marketing. You can find his credentials
in the show notes, my address.
Yeah.
Email address, liam@studio-magisch.com or -magisch, sorry. Switch to English.
We need to really focus on, stay on track. We are speaking English right now. So so all his contacts are in the show notes, and also my show notes, also my contacts are in the show notes if you need to, in need of more information about operations. And that's it for this episode. Thanks a lot, Liam, for this lovely exchange. And I don't think that our worlds will collide.
I hope not.
But
I don't think so. Not our world.
But a little bit of foreshadowing. It might happen that in the next episode, there will be discussions. You will find out later.
That's great. We love discussions. All right. See you in the next episode.
See you.